is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Esther. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Alan Jackson with Blessed Assurance, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long.
They had their own laws. The Jews, in whatever country they settled, they had their own laws. And I'm not just talking about religious laws. They had their own political laws. Did you know that even in the medieval period in Europe, the rabbis ruled the roost and told the Jews what to do, and there were courts. And I understand there have been people have been murdered and slain, killed, all because they didn't follow the rules of the rabbis over them. The Sanhedrins. There's a Sanhedrin that still exists in the world today that tells the Jewish people what to do. And here it was noted that the Jews were not obeying the laws of the land. In America today, they are disloyal to America. Many Jews are. They do not obey our laws, and they believe they're better than every other race. They are alone or God's chosen. And many of them say, I love Israel more than I love America. Even those that are born in America as Jews. They give allegiance to Israel over America. Now, let's read a little bit more here. Let's find out a little bit more if we can about the situation with Esther and with her cousin Mordecai. When Esther went to the king and convinced the king, or got the king's permission to kill everyone who would oppose the Jews. Here was what the Bible says about that in Esther chapter 8, verse 11. Wherein, and this was talking about the edict of the king, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The king said to the Jews throughout the whole land, all the provinces, he said, on this day I'm going to allow you to go out and kill everybody that you believe is opposed to you. It doesn't matter what their age. Babies on up, you can take them out and kill them, and their property will be yours. Now, friends, I want to ask you as a Christian, if an edict came from an evil dictator who told you as a Christian, on a certain day of the year, I give you authority to take your sword out and to slay, to kill whoever you will, man, woman, or child, anybody that you think is opposed to Christianity, take them out and kill them, or as opposed to your race, which is white or black or brown. Whoever is opposed to your race, take them out and kill them and take their property for your own. Would you do it? Would you do it? As a Christian, would you do it? Well, I can tell you right now, I would not do it, my friends. I don't care how many edicts or commandments come down from the king or how many permissions. I don't care if he gives me permission, a license to kill all of my enemies. The Bible says to love your enemies. The Bible says to pray for them which despise you. Jesus had every right to slay his enemies. And yet, mute, he stood before them and went to his death on the cross. I want you to understand something, my friends. We are not sent into this world to kill people with a sword. For everyone who kills with a sword shall be, in turn, themselves slain by the sword. Revelation 13 says, my friends, the only sword that you need is the sword of the Word of God. It is a sword that divides. It is a sharp sword. And it is the weapon of choice of the Christian. This is our ammunition. This is our nuclear bomb of truth, the Holy Bible. There could be no Purim in the Christian faith. For we who are true Christians would refuse to take up the sword against our enemies. We would not kill men, women, and children, and we certainly would not take their property. But the Jews did. Upon one day in all the provinces, it says, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, they took out and slew 75,000. There's an interesting thing. It says in verse 15 of verse 8 that Mordecai was given honor by the king. Remember now, here he was related to the queen, to Esther. They had deceived the king and didn't at first tell him they were Jewish. And now here is Mordecai. It says, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white with a great crown of gold. I want you to think about those colors. Mordecai, the schemer, the plotter, the racist, arrogant man who had defied the laws of the kingdom, who now would become himself the grand vizier, having plotted against the previous grand vizier, who was taken and killed on the gallows. He comes out in royal apparel of blue and white. Have you ever noticed the Israeli flag, the colors? What are they? Blue and white. The colors of Mordecai. Now, with their license to kill and their killing of the 75,000 men, women, and children throughout the kingdom, were the Jews sad that they had to do it? Were they appalled that they were forced to kill these people? Esther chapter 8, verse 16. It says the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. They had a ball. Killing. The blood flowed and they were happy as a lark. And many of the people of the land became Jews, the Bible says, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Friends, I want you to understand something. It wasn't the fear of God. It was the fear of the Jews. Now, let me tell you a little secret you may not be aware of. I have read Esther a number of times. I invite you to read the book of Esther. And if you can find the name of God anywhere in it, let me know. I have the King James Version, the true Bible. Did you know the name of God is not mentioned one time? The name God is not mentioned one time. Why? Because it was not God doing these things, but the wicked Esther, the star goddess, and her consort, her relation, Mordecai, a name which means I am Marduk, the great god Mars, the god of sacrifice, of blood, of fire, of Mars, the sixth planet. And that's why today in the Jewish synagogues, the little children eat the triangle-shaped cookies known as Haman Tesh, the flesh of God. Now, let me tell you how obedient George W. Bush is to their calling. Just like his father was, George Herbert Walker Bush, he began the first Persian Gulf War. I want you to remember something about that war. It was against a man named Saddam Hussein. Did you know that the rabbis of Israel that year, every year they name a man somewhere in the world that they hate the most, and they name him as their Haman, the man to be hated on Purim. They actually bring up the fact that this year the man we will hate is so-and-so. I suspect some year it'll probably be Tex Mars. The way things are going, I'll be known as the Haman of the year. The year of the first Persian Gulf War, when Senior President Bush was in office in the White House, the Jews told him to prosecute that war because their Haman of the year was a man named Saddam Hussein. Now, I want you to understand something. The war began and exactly 100 hours later ended. Everybody was so shocked. General Schwarzkopf ended it after 100 hours. He had not even taken Baghdad yet. He was just down the road from taking the capital city of Iraq, and he got orders, stop immediately, stop your advance, stop the war. And throughout the world, they celebrated. The Americans, the proxy of the Jews, had won against Haman. Oh, we had not deposed him yet, but we defeated him, didn't we? We made him look like a fool in the eyes of the world. And there sat American soldiers in the very heart of Iraq. And we had conquered ancient Babylon, the very city and empire that once had conquered the Jews. Now the Jews had their revenge. And Haman, the Haman of the year, Saddam Hussein, had been defeated. Embarrassingly so. And guess what day it was? On the 100th hour, the end of the Persian Gulf War. The defeat of Haman. Guess what day it was on the Jewish calendar? It was the day of Purim, the festival of Purim. That's why the battle was stopped, so the Jews could celebrate throughout the world, and they did. Then again, a decade later, we fought a second Persian Gulf War, a second President Bush, inspired by the Jews, told what to do. Declared on the eve of Purim to a gleeful Jewish mob spread out in synagogues and meeting halls throughout the world, George Bush went to the cameras of the world's news outlets and declared that Saddam Hussein was in violation of the American edict. You see, King George had ruled that by a certain time and date, Saddam Hussein must agree to certain conditions or there would be war against him and against Iraq, which is ancient Babylon. And on the very eve of Purim, George Bush went before the world's cameras and said there will be war. The deadline has passed. The decision is war. And let me tell you another little secret you may not know. That year, for a second time, Saddam Hussein had been chosen as the Haman of the year by the Jewish rabbis. And so it was that war ensued and he was defeated. Is it just a coincidence of history that the first Persian Gulf War ended on the eve of Purim and that exactly 10 years later that another President Bush launched a new war on the eve of Purim against Saddam Hussein and in the synagogues and meeting halls, great parties of drinking and sex ensued and little children got out their hamantash, the flesh of Haman, and bit off the heads of their great enemy. And this is the religion that people say is related to Christianity? I think not. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. It is true that Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah are the true ancestors, and Abraham is, in a way, our spiritual father. In fact, Jesus says in Galatians 3, verse 29, that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But the Jews who worship at the altar of Esther are not of Christ and are not Abraham's seed. Now let's continue on in the book of Esther. It says in chapter 9, verse 26, it talked about the victory of the Jews there, and it says, wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come upon them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fall, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. In other words, every year there will be the festival of Purim to be celebrated. And who ordained this? Was it God? No, did I not tell you that the name God is not found in the book of Esther? It reads in verse 27 of chapter 9, the Jews ordained this day forever be a memorial. The Jews themselves, and my friends, in their Kabbalah and their Talmud, it says that the Jews collectively are their own salvation. And from among them will come their king. A man king, not God. And they shall reign and rule over the planet. The Jewish utopia. Rulership of Jews, the superior race over all men. And now, my friends, what the Jews have ordained they intend will come to pass. And they now control our government. And they control the United States of America, the greatest empire on earth. In the time of Ahasuerus, they controlled Persia. And the Jews had stayed there rather than go back to Israel. They had stayed there. And there was Esther. She was even married. Did you know Stalin had a Jewish wife? Lenin, the monster, Vladimir Lenin, had a Jewish wife. Now we have George W. Bush. There's a Mordecai behind him. And he is doing foul and evil things for Israel today, and because of the Jews that run Wall Street and run our corporations and, yes, run the Democratic and Republican parties. And they have some things in mind for you and me. Because we tell the truth, because we oppose evil, we are the Hamans that they next must destroy. You and I, dear friends, are the Hamans. There is on earth today a real-life Queen Esther. She is the Jewish people, collectively, without the Son of God in their lives. And there is truly a Mordecai, a scheming minister who plots to favor the Jews. He is like an Antichrist on earth. There is a King Ahasuerus, an evil man, a drunkard of a man, who will do whatever the Jewish Esther tells him to do. In this case, it is King George. Of course, it was King Bill Clinton. Next time around, it may be Queen Hillary, who shall be our queen. Now, friends, I believe this points to the purification of planet Earth. And is that not what the Jews want? You see, the Holocaust of World War II now is known along with Purim as one of their greatest days and one of their greatest events. It is like a religious thing for them, the Holocaust. They say we suffered a Holocaust, but they now have decided that their enemies shall suffer the next Holocaust. There is a strange book of laws called the Noahide Laws. The Jewish rabbis know of it. In it, it says that someday when the Jews rule the world, the Gentiles must be righteous, or all the Gentiles who are not righteous will be slain. It sounds good, doesn't it? Only the righteous Gentiles will be allowed to live. But then the Noahide law says that anyone who is an idolater, that means who worships and believes in the name of Jesus, is an idolater. He will be put to death. And what will be the form of his death? It will be that his head will be cut off. Isn't that what the Bible says in the book of Revelation? That those who worship the true God, Jesus Christ, in the last days, many will be beheaded for their faith. And that is the exact punishment for idolaters, Christians, in the Noahide laws, if and when the Jews ever take over this planet. Friends, study the book of Esther. It is the book of prophecy for the last days.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.